in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he or as a man or woman thinks in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so are we. As we, the things we meditate on, the things that we believe on the inside, is how our life's going to go. It's what's going to come our way. It's what's going to develop out of our circumstances and the situations in our life. And every day, how many of you know that you're all born again? We know that we're all born again. We're new creations in Christ. But you still have a flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is the unrenewed part of our mind, and the flesh is our body. Your body is totally 100% worldly. Your body is totally 100% carnal. It just wants to go its own way and do its own thing all the time. Doesn't know any better. And until you get a new body, it's going to be that way. So it needs to take instructions from your soul. Okay, so when we get born again, our mind is completely unrenewed. Our mind is still totally carnal. Our mind is still totally worldly. But there's one part of our mind that just got renewed. And that one part was, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is Lord. Jesus paid a price for me to become a new creation. He shed his blood. He forgave all my sins. That truth renewed one section of your mind on who Jesus is and what he came to do. And that's the only part of your mind that was renewed at that moment. Everything else was still unrenewed. But something big happened. Your spirit that was dead in its trespasses and sin got completely born again and came to live inside of you. And the Holy Spirit joined your spirit and became one. Understanding that has helped me tremendously in understanding Scripture. Because there's a lot of scriptures, like the scripture that says, if you've been born of God, you do not sin. And then there's a scripture right next to it that says, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. Talking to born-again people. How do you reconcile that? What is God saying? You're not going to understand if you don't know that the only part of you that got born again is your spirit. He's talking about your spirit. And like Al said, the action happens in the spirit. The action in our life happens in the spirit while we're in the spirit. But we have a flesh. It's still our body has tendencies, natural tendencies, and our soul has still got unrenewed parts of our mind or will and emotions. It's still like the old man, even though the old man's dead, been crucified. You still got that programming that's still in there in some ways. Okay, so our mind has got to get more renewed. So we got this thing going on. But if we don't understand who we are, if we don't understand what our identity is, if we don't understand that we are now, I am now a spirit man. I am now a spirit woman. I have been born in heaven. That's my new homeland. That's where I've come from. I'm not that old man anymore. I'm not that sinner man anymore. I'm not that guy, that woman who did all these things, who had problems with this, that, and the other thing, and got anxious and worried and stressful. I'm not that person anymore. Does that mean I won't have that happen anymore? I'm going to show you how you can come to the place where that'll happen, but it won't touch you. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. I'm sure many of you asked the question like I did as when I was a little younger in Christianity, and my relationship with him is, Jesus, if you said it's finished and you paid price in full for me to have life, your life, then why do I still do some of those things I did before? Then why do I still struggle with some of the things that I did as an unborn again person? Why? I don't get it. If Jesus, I know that your salvation is not incomplete. I know that you didn't give us a partial salvation. I know that what you did is sufficient for all that I need to live like you live. Where's the problem? Have you ever asked, the question, how could I have done something like that? Yeah. Yeah, like more than once, right? Like many, 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 many times. We maybe you don't ask it, but maybe you think it. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I respond that way? Why didn't I love that person? You see, we have the flesh available to us 24/7. And we can be in the flesh or we can be in the spirit. But Jesus says, there's nothing good that can ever come out of the flesh. So understand what it is and choose the spirit. So we learn to choose the spirit, but we need to recognize that that's who we are first. What's our identity? How do we identify ourselves? I hear Christians all the time talking about themselves like they're still the old sinner person. Talking about themselves like they still have problems with like they had before they came to Christ. They still talk about themselves. It's like they're identifying with those issues. They're taking them in and identifying with them. Like maybe you know people like this that they're living in their past. They live in all the things that somebody did to them. They live in all the hurt that somebody put upon them. They live in that, and they operate out of that. It's all flesh, and nothing good can ever come out of that. They've got to choose to get out of that and to get in the spirit. Amen. It's not something that we do. You can't work your way out of it. You can't program your way out of it. You can't go to 12-step, 7-step, 50-step program. You can't get your way out of it. There's nothing you can ever, you can't go to a philosophy class. You can't go to a psychologist. There's nothing you can do to get out of that except trust in the new identity that he's given you and who he's made you to be. And I'm discovering more and more and more that that is the answer to everything in my life, is who am I? Am I that dude that just made a mistake and said something I shouldn't say? Or am I a son of God? Who am I? And I've seen how there are many people that have been in church, in fellowship, that all of a sudden disappear. And they're gone. And I say, Lord, what happened to them? Where are they? I pray. And he begins to show me how to pray. And it's almost always how they began to identify with something that they believed, something that they felt, something that is not Jesus. Like, well, you know what that person did to me? I didn't. It's like the guy that got on my case and because in the early days I wore a suit and tie in here, you know that? It's like that seems like so far long ago. And he said to me, your tie is crooked today. I have a problem with you. Say what? My tie is crooked? Yeah. I had a person come to church once. They come up to me before the service and so I just want to let you know, it's my last Sunday here. I don't like the way you preach. I said, thank you. Thank you for coming and telling me that. You know, most people wouldn't have the guts to do that. Thank you for that. I bless you. May you be blessed every day of your life. But I had a decision to make. Okay, whatever I did to this guy, I've been forgiven for that. I want to make sure he understands there's nothing between me and him. I want to make sure he understands that, because I'm not going there. Remembering that the flesh will always be flesh, so we always have that option. We can step back into it any time of the day, and the temptation comes and comes and comes for us to step into that place where it's not going to be Jesus responding; it'll be flesh responding. And no matter what. No matter what you say out of the flesh, it's never going to produce anything good. Cannot. It's like trying to, you know, somebody's correcting you. You all have people that want to correct you, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, somebody's correcting me, you know, and while they're correcting me, my flesh is thinking about how I can get even with them. how I can get back with him, how I can say, oh yeah, well, this is, well, I see this with you. You know, I said, okay, if your flesh wants to go there, okay, nothing good will ever, ever, ever come out of that. It's like, that's not who I am. Jesus, every manner of evil was done to him. He was persecuted to the max. He was treated wrong. He was lied about. And what did he do? Over and over again, it says, he spoke not a word. He spoke, he didn't need to speak. He knew who he was. He knew what his identity was. And there's times we don't need to say anything. Just love him. Just smile and love him. That's it. Okay, because you know that you're a daughter. You're a son of the living God. That's who you are. And you're going to stay in that place. Stay in the spirit, because nothing but good can come out of that. How many times I've had people say, like, you know, they hammer me with something, you know, and it used to be that my flesh would start rising. You can all tell when your flesh rises up, right? Yeah, you can feel it on the inside. Just rise it up. Okay, when you sense that, do not say anything. Holy Spirit, I'm in the flesh. I want out. I'm trusting you right now. Pull me back in the spirit. I want to be a blessing to this person. They're hurting. Why do people do that kind of stuff? They're hurting. They're hurting. You know, especially lost people, they will put somebody else down because that makes them look better. Yeah. Right. That's what pride does. But in the middle of the word pride is the letter I, right? It's all about them. But that's the flesh. But we're not of the flesh anymore. We are not of the flesh anymore. We have it, but we're not of it. We have it, but we're not in it. I'm not in it. You're not in it, right? We are in Christ. We are in Christ. If I see wrong, if I have wrong thoughts or I have wrong actions or behavior in my life, and it's continually that way, and I begin to see that as who I am, it becomes my identity, then I talk and I act out of that. You all have people in your life, right? That any conversation you have with them, there's something negative coming out of their mouth. There's something that's a downer, that's a bummer. There's something that wants to just suck the life right out of you. They just always talk that way. Why? It's because they see their identity as this hurting person. They've made it their identity that they're this hurting person who's been hurt, and they're just going to dish it back out. They don't know. Okay, if a person's lost, they can't know. So what we do is we tell them about the reconciliation of Jesus and how he's made everything better for them, and that if they'll place trust in him, it'll start to be all different. But I'm not talking about lost people today. I'm talking about born-again believers who definitely have the Spirit in them. I remember years ago when we first started Food Pantry here, these people were coming in, and they were a lot of them messed up, and they were sick. They had sickness in their body, and they had depression and all kinds of things, and they would talk out of that sickness. And this is the way they would talk. I'm a hopeless case. I'm sick, and I'm just a sick person. I got sickness all over me, and there's nothing can be done. I'm just sick. Their identity has become their sickness. Their sickness has become their identity, and they live around this sickness. I am this sick person. Okay, what does that do? That's coming out of the flesh. It's empowering it to continue.
You're agreeing with it.
There's only one thing that we agree with. We agree with Jesus Christ being our Lord and our Savior. He's alive in me, and that's who I am. We agree with that and that only. We don't agree with any of that other stuff. We don't agree with it. Now, what if somebody in front of you is born again and they start talking that way? You know, if you hear that come out of my mouth, you hear something negative come out of my mouth about, you know, woe is me. And I give you permission to say, can we agree together? That ain't you. Can we agree together? That thing that you're talking about, that's not Jesus. He paid the price for you not to have that. Can we agree together? I give you permission. You give me permission, I'll do it with you. Nobody says anything. It's all silent. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Yeah, I want to know. I do want to know. Yeah. Our identity is we're spirit people, born in heaven. Jesus is alive in us. That's our new identity. Therefore, those who are in Christ, you're in Christ. Okay, you're a new creation. Behold, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has gone, the new has come. All things, it says, all things are new. When I first read that, I didn't know about, you know, the difference between my spirit, soul, and body. I didn't know. I just thought, surely there's something wrong with that scripture. That all things are surely not all new in me. I know I've been born again, but I still got old stuff. I didn't understand that he's talking about my spirit. He's talking about your spirit. It's all new. It's completely new. There's nothing bad in it. There's nothing foul in it. There's nothing unclean in it. There's nothing unpowerful in it. There's nothing unholy in it. There's nothing unrighteous in it. Your spirit was born perfectly pure and holy and righteous in heaven. And that's the way it will always be for all of time. And that's who you really are. That's your real identity. And we need to begin to turn to who we really are, who God says we are, and live in that. And then every response that comes out of it's going to come out of response not to hurt anyone or not to receive hurt from anyone, because our life belongs to him. Yeah. You wanna abuse me in word and in deed? Go ahead. I'm still going to love you. I'm not going to stop. I'm still loving a whole bunch of people that are not here anymore. And I'm praying for them. Because I refused to take what they were doing. Because that's not who I am. God didn't make me that way, and I'm not going to take up that kind of identity. I ain't going there. Nope. It's like, you know, our body. I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror. Old age spot. Oh, getting old. Oh, bags under my eyes. Oh. Look at the wrinkles. Oh, my God. Look at this. I'm getting so old. Oh, I'm looking like my daddy every more and more every day when he was 88 years old. Oh, my. Here's the mirror. This is the mirror for us now. Amen. That other thing ain't the mirror anymore.
That's right.
What you see, it may not look good, but I'm going to confess what God says.
Amen.
Because here's the deal, okay? The Holy Spirit who's living within me, when I stand on the truth of who I am, he flows through and into my mortal frame, Romans chapter 8, 11 says, and he affects my body. I believe you can begin to look younger. It's not going to be because you went to a spa, okay, and you got treatment. It's not going to be because you changed the way you do things. It's going to be because the one who created you is now infusing his life in every part of your being. And it's affecting everything about you. That's what's going to do it. It's true.
We see you that way.
Amen. Instead of looking at your failures, look at his victory. Because Proverbs says, for he thinks in his heart, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As we see ourselves, so all the spiritual realm releases to us the way we're seeing ourselves. If we see ourselves as a loser, we see ourselves as a big sinner, as we see ourselves as a failure in this, that, or the other, we see ourselves as an addict, as we, however we see ourselves, all the spiritual realm is going to feed that. But if we see ourselves the way God sees us, He doesn't see you that way. He sees you as His son and His daughter, pure and holy and righteous, and He's filled and living within you. If you begin to see yourself that way every day and begin to speak out of that identity, begin to speak out of that truth, when some feeling or temptation or something comes, it's just like, nope, ain't me. That's not me. Or you slip and you fail, okay? We know that we do that. God knows that we do that. He's not focused on it. He's not fixed on it. He's not saying, oh, bad girl, oh, bad girl, bad girl. Oh, that was nasty. You're going to pay for this. Oh, you're going to pay for this. Oh, God doesn't do that. He doesn't even see that. He sees the beautiful daughter, the beautiful son that He made, filled with His life. That's what He sees. Like, this is who you are. Okay, you made a mistake. Walk away from it. That's not me. That's not who I am. That's not my identity. It's never going to become my identity. Jesus Christ is my identity. And for all the ages, you are my identity. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Oh, there is a river. There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river. There is a river of life flowing out of me. How about you? Yes! It's the river. It's Him. It's not us. It's Him. I'm just letting them flow. So I want to let's look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24. Let's go to Amplified. Amplify it, Holy Spirit. Amplify it. Amplify your word. Amplify your word. And I know every one of you here have had moments that you felt like you really let God down. It felt like you were a basket case. Every one of you here have felt like times that you're doing the same old thing and you don't want to do it, but you're still doing it. Right? Understand this. Your Father in heaven does not see you as the same old person. He cannot. He cannot. He's got something way better for you. The salvation that He's given us is so great. It's beyond great. It's beyond. Any time that we hear someone preaching or teaching and making us think that what Jesus did isn't enough, that we need to do something also, that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel is all about what He has done and is doing. What He has done and is doing through us who believe. The same way you receive salvation, in the same way walk. I mean, when you were born into this world, how many of you had a choice in the matter? How many of you did something to be born physically into this world? How many of you did something? What was your part? Just float around in there. Woo! Thank you, Mommy. Woo! When you're born again, it's the same way. It's all Him. It's 100% Him. You hear the word because God arranged for you to hear the word, and the word is coming to you by the Holy Spirit, and it's coming filled with the very faith of Jesus, and He delivers His word right to you with His own faith, and you say, yes, I believe. It's all Him, 100% Him. Well, you don't have nothing to do with it except receive. It's the same way today. Our part is just to receive what He is doing in and through us. That's it. Just receive.
Amen.
It's not hard. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's really not hard. Okay, where are, what did I say? Ephesians 4. 24, thank you. Ephesians 4, 24, amplified. And put on the new nature, the new man, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. It says, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness.
Wow.
In true righteousness. Not a fake righteousness. Not a pretend. Not a I got to work up righteousness. But true. True. God's saying you've got the true, genuine version of righteousness. It's me. I am righteousness, Jesus is saying, and you've got me. I make you righteous. I give you my righteousness and holiness. The real you, the real spirit woman, you are totally righteous. You are 100% holy. 100%. You can never be anything less than that. Ever, ever, ever. Impossible. Because God created you. And He created you in heaven perfectly. And you had nothing to do with it except to receive. It's awesome, beyond awesome. He doesn't say, and instead of created, he doesn't say, and you put on the new nature, becoming, getting to be like, being transformed into. No. Your soul is in the process of being transformed, and your body is just going to get a new one of these days. Okay? But your spirit, there's no process involved in your spirit. You got everything. You got all of Him. Boom, all at once. It's a boom, all at once. It's a boom, all at once. And it's all in you. He is all in you. You are spirit woman. You got the goods. And we need to start believing that. We need to start talking like we believe that. We need to start using that as our identity and all our discussions and all our thinking. That is our identity, and out of that we operate. He made you a new spirit man. Go back to John chapter 4, verse 24. Is this okay? John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. He's a spiritual being. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How about this? And those who live for Him, and those who walk with Him, and those who minister with Him must do so in spirit and in truth. And what truth? The truth that you are His son. The truth that you are His daughter. The truth that He's become one with you, never to be separated. The truth that when you speak, He wants your words to be His words. The truth is you've been made to be a world changer. To affect everything in the world around you, because it's Him. Because it's Him. It doesn't say that that in spirit and in truth is the best way out of many ways. It's the only way. You want to get to where those things aren't touching you anymore? And there's one way. There's not many ways. Religion will give us many ways. And all of it will have our effort involved in it. All of it will have our working to do something in it. But God's way is one way. That we recognize who we are. That becomes our identity. And we operate out of that identity. We speak out of that identity. We speak, we operate, we live, we work, we discuss out of the truth that I am a son of God. I'm your ambassador here now, Lord. These people that are with me here right now, I'm representing you. Wow. You know, it hit me. I wrote this in my Bible. It hit me, and I wrote in my Bible, finally I saw how a holy God could love me. He's not loving the physical part of me. He's not loving the unrenewed mind part of me that's struggling with sin, the soulish part of me that's not renewed yet. He's loving the part he created. That should help you. It helped me. Yeah, I could say it again because I wrote it in my Bible. And I wrote in there finally. When the moment I saw this truth, because I couldn't rationalize how a loving God could love me when I'm messing up all the time. When I'm doing all the, I couldn't understand that. Finally I saw how a holy God could love me. He's not loving the physical part of me. He's not loving the unrenewed part of my mind that's struggling with sin. He's not loving the soulishness that's not backed by the Spirit, but the part of me that he created, that's the part he's loving. And he loves perfectly, and he fills you perfectly with his perfect love. Wow. Wow. In John 2:20, it says this, that we have the anointing, and we know all things. If we don't understand that he's talking about our spirit man, we're going to get confused. Your spirit woman has his very anointing, and your spirit woman knows all things. That means everything Jesus knows, your spirit knows, because he's become one with you. The problem is getting it from there to get this part renewed to think like him. And that's always the issue with us, is him flowing from our spirit through our soul. That's the process, you know. It goes through our soul, and our soul speaks it out. Our soul puts it together. So more and more what happens is more and more of our mind gets renewed to the truth. And every area that gets renewed to the truth, now he can flow through that area. And every area that's not yet renewed, he can't flow through that area. So many years ago, I knew I was still a messed up dude. That I still had a lot of areas that weren't right. And I go on a mission trip, and I'm seeing all these miracles happening. And it's like, I don't get it, God. How are you flowing through someone in my condition? And he showed me, I'm not flowing through you now. I'm coming upon you now to bless this person, to heal this person. When I'm done, I'm coming off. Right. But I'm bringing you to a place where I can freely flow through every part of your being. That's going to take years, son. And I've been in that process for years. He's just renewing more areas that he can whoosh, flow from the inside. That's the way it was with Jesus. With Jesus, the Holy Spirit just flowed out of him. He was upon him, but he flowed out of him. For us, because he wants us to be able to minister to people. That's why we can never use the excuse, I'm not spiritual enough, I don't know enough. We can never use that excuse. Because he will come upon us. He needs some hands. And if we offer him our hands, he'll put people in front of us. And we can never ever say, look what I did. Let's look what you did. Because if he can't flow through you, he'll come on you and he'll bless that person. He'll bring deliverance and freedom to that person. He will do it. Because he loves to do it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says you have the mind of Christ. Okay, now if you don't understand what he's talking about, your spirit person, you're going to think, oh, there ain't no way. There's no way I have the mind of Christ. Your spirit has the mind of Christ and thinks just like Jesus. So what happens as we get this renewed in tandem with what's already reality in our spirit? Get ready for the river. You're going to flood everywhere you go. You're going to walk down in dry places, and they're not going to be dry anymore when you get there, because you're going to be leaking a river everywhere. That's what I love. I love it when he's just flowing. I just love that. You're not even thinking about ministering to anybody. He's just flowing. And people are being touched because he's able to flow. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world. As he is right now, so are you in this world. Think about that. How is he now? How does the Father see Jesus? Is there any lack?
No
lack. How does he see you? No lack. That's how he sees you. But if we don't begin to agree with that, that's who we are and that's the way he sees us, then we're not going to experience it. Because it's according to our faith that it's done unto us. If we're believing we're still this messed up dude, then that's what we're going to experience. And we're going to think this is all hype. What's the big deal about this Christianity thing? What's the big deal about all of this? I don't get it. It's not working for me. It's not working for me. It's because we don't believe the truth. And we're not identifying with who we really are. Oh.
Thinking of clogged arteries.
Clogged artery. Yes, yes, yes. Now, here's the beauty. He unclogs them.
Yeah.
When you just believe, right? When you just realize this is who I am, and he unclogs them. It's not like I got to go make an appointment with an unclogger man to get me unclogged. He just does it. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of this new creation that we've been made to be. He just does it. He just does it. We should have more and more days where we get into the day and it's like, whoa, God. Whoa, God. Whoa, God. Where we walk away from it, talking to someone. We walk away going, whoa, God, that was awesome. Oh, wow, God. Or we get new phone calls like from people that we're talking to, and they say something like, what the heck happened to me today? When I was talking to you, I walked away, and it's like, man, I had this thing that was on me. I didn't tell you about it, but, man, it got off of me. And I did, what the heck was that? Okay, I got a canned answer. It's not what, it's who. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. You want him? If that was Jesus, I want him. I love that. I just love that. One more scripture, Galatians 5. I'm gonna give you a section of scripture to read sometime later today, maybe, or tonight. It'll be a topper for you, okay? It's Romans chapter 6, verse 5 through 11. Write it down. Read that. And read it slow. Maybe read it two or three times. And ask the Holy Spirit to speak that truth to you. It's like, whoa. That's just going to put a topper on what I'm sharing with you today. Galatians. You know, I mentioned people that live in their past. They operate out of all the hurts that they've had. People that have done to them. They can't forget them. They just, it's like that's what's reality for them, because they see themselves as just a victim. They see themselves as just a hurt person. You all know anybody like that? That's not what God wants. Philippians chapter 3, I think it's verse 13, says, forgetting those things that are behind. What does that mean? Does that mean don't remember them anymore? No, that's not saying that. It means they ain't nothing no more. They have no power. They have no value. They have no purpose in your life. They have nothing. There's nothing in any of that, all that stuff that people have done to you. There's nothing in all of that can ever affect who you are now. So he says, forgetting those things that are behind and press on towards the prize in Christ Jesus. Press on towards the prize in Christ Jesus. Get out of there, and get in the Spirit. And that's just in the Spirit, out of the flesh and in the Spirit is just simply completely trusting Him, completely leaning all of your cares upon Him, completely relying fully on Him in everything. That's all it is. It's just resting in Him. That's all it is. It's too. I know it's easy, right? It really is. But when you're living out of here, and you've been living out of here for years, and people, and you meet people who have been living out of the flesh for years, and they're just all caught up, and they talk their problems all the time. Okay, what is it going to take? We don't have to give them a sermonette. I was asking the Holy Spirit that once. You know, well, what I know, how do I address somebody like that? I mean, you've already provided deliverance. You've already provided healing. You provided everything they need. How do I? He said, remember Elijah when he spoke to the dry bones?
Amen.
Bless them. Just bless them. And let me speak the blessing. And those bones are going to start to rattle. And they're going to start to come together and going to begin to realize, that's not who I am. I'm talking about Christians now. Because there's Christians like that everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just they're going to start to realize, that's not who I am. That was stupid. This is who I am. You got me, God. You got me. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does it. Not because I'm lecturing them, not because I'm correcting them, not because I'm, you know, telling them how stupid they were, although I have done that. I've told people, you don't have any idea. You allowed a spirit of stupid to come on you? And you are operating out of a spirit of stupid. Do you have any idea? I've told people that. But to some people, you tell them that. They ain't going to take it. So, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 through 18. Still in the Amplified. Galatians 5. Oh, you brought that up. Good. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. He's saying, don't live here anymore. Make it a habit. Develop a new habit of walking in the Spirit. Walking in that place of recognizing who you are now. Okay. Make it a habit. Stop this habit and create a new one. Just come over here and say, Holy Spirit, I've been doing too much on my own. I'm not doing nothing on my own anymore. I'm trusting you now. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Not responsive to and controlled and guided by people. By the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Then, I love this. Then, this is really what we're after. Then, you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. He's telling us how not to hang out here anymore. He's telling us the process.
Yeah.
That it's all Holy Spirit. You will, when you go back, read that again. Right from the beginning. But I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. That means everything you do, Holy Spirit, you got me. You know the plan. You know the future of my life. You know what's ahead. You know the condition of this person. You know the situations. You know everything. You know what's going on in my body. You know everything. I trust you.
Amen.
I trust you. And may nothing come out of my mouth except but what lines up and agrees with who I really am. I'm a spirit man born in heaven. And I can say, there's no sickness in me. Because there is no sickness in me. I may have something going on in my body, but that's not me. Your body is not you. I am not sick. And I'm not fabricating that. People say, why are you saying things that's not true? I'm saying what is true. Okay, well, you know, we hear when we become a Christian, we hear about not becoming a hypocrite, right? Only we get it from the religious version. But a real hypocrite is someone who says that they are sick, who says that they are, I'm depressed, I'm messed up, I got all these things wrong with me. No, you don't. You have something wrong with your soul. You have something wrong with your body, maybe. But not you. There's nothing wrong with you. You spirit woman, there's nothing wrong with you. You are 100% healthy, strong, powerful, mighty, anointed, everything. That's who you are. Okay, so to be a hypocrite is to say something other than the truth. Not what we feel, not what other people say, not what doctors say, but what the Word of God says I am. I am a son of God. Yes. And I tell you, this is what will happen. The Spirit of God will begin to change everything. Oh, you're seeing who you really are. Oh. He starts changing things. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. I don't know why I did that. I don't know what made me do that. I don't know what made me say that. It was the flesh. If I'm going to walk in trust and dependence in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to find that I'm saying that less and less and less and less until I find that I'm not saying that anymore. Oh, it's not by our word. It's not by our power, it's not by our strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. How everything happens in our life. And anytime anybody's putting works to that, okay, well, hey, this is counselor, right? I you need to go see, that could probably help you out. It's a shrink, but they won't, this won't shrink your brain too much, but they'll probably help you. What are we saying? I don't think you can do it, Lord. Okay, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. You agree?
Yes.
And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got this battle going on the inside, and we need to side with the winning team. We need to side with the winning team, and that's the Holy Spirit in bringing the life of Jesus. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. How many of you felt that way? In my heart, I want to do this. I want to bless this person. I want to go here. I want to help this. But there's this battle going on, and you find yourself not doing it, but doing something fleshly instead. He's given us the answer. Holy Spirit, you have me. You're my life. I can't do any of that. You've already been victorious over all of it. And I'm not even going to try not to do those things. I'm not even going to try not to be a good girl or a good boy. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to just rest in you. And I'm going to watch you bring change in everything. That's real Christianity. That's what Jesus paid for us to have. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. When I started waking up and going through my day and realizing that thing that I had a problem with was not there. It was gone. And it began to happen more. And that person that I had a problem with, I had this guy many, many years ago. I had this guy that came to work for us. And he was just not nice. And the economy tanked. And he says, I'm out of here. You guys are going to have to manage on your own. I'm out of here. And I had a problem with that because we helped this guy so much. And we paid him even when, he didn't work just to help him. And And I really struggled with that. And that was the flesh that was struggling. It wasn't God. It was the flesh. And every day I'd have dreams about it. Every night I'd have dreams about how bad that we were treated, how all that we did, how little this guy thought about us. And I had dreams about it. And day after day, and I think about it during the day, I'd say, gee. That's the Italian version. Gee. And then when I began to realize, Holy Spirit, this is stupid. I'm sure I'm going to trust you. Because I should have my mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I should be focused on the things you're doing, not focused on the things somebody else has done to me in the past. That's silliness.
Yes, Lord.
And I said, I give it to you. I just give it to you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm your son.
Yes.
And I began to watch. Until I was maybe a month, 2 months later, all of a sudden I realized. He took it away, right away. And I didn't even realize it was away. Until like a couple months later, I just woke up and I said, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You did it! 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 He did it! He did it! It wasn't because I tried. That's nothing to do with it. I finally let go.
Amen.
And said, here you go.
Yes.
You're the only one that could deal with this. And that person came back to me years later and said, I apologize. God spoke to me. I was wrong. That wouldn't have happened if I hadn't let go. And next verse. But if you are guided or you're led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. What's the law? The law is what we try to do. The law is what we try to do. We're not subject to that. What does that mean? Well, now you don't have to try to do anything. Now you just rest in him and you trust in him. He's going to lead you into all the doing you need to do. Because if he's not leading you into do it, then it's doo-doo. It's you trying to do what you shouldn't be doing. So it's doo-doo. But if he's leading, he's going to lead us into what we should be doing, and it'll be fully empowered. Amen? I hope that's some help. Amen. 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 So here's a pointer. The next time your flesh starts to do something to you, you can just say, in Jesus' name, no. In Jesus' name, no. In Jesus' name. Because in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue, every fleshly tongue, will confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.